There's a peace I've come to know Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will there's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eye. Jesus has overcome, and the grave
morning when this life is o'er, fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Ooh, oh, I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, how glad and happy when we meet, I'll fly away. No more cold iron shackles on my feet, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end.
Unconditionally, I will. Will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Rosemary in chat, which is huge because Rosemary had a hard time getting in chat last night, as I think other people did, I guess, too. And we'll just see how things go. Hopefully, Mom will be able to chime in. Carol, our Christmas Carol, should be on the high seas today, I think, if I'm understanding. Either that or she's traveling to where she will get on a cruise liner. I'm not sure which is which. But she's heading there, and result, I don't think she'll be calling in today. I'm pretty sure. Michelle is working, and she sent me an awesome garage work email. What she sent me may turn out to be extraordinary. It sat well with me when I read through it. I only got a chance to read it several minutes ago. As I've mentioned, I've been kind of busy. So I'll get into that. And one other sort of Christmas season-oriented reinforcement from another source about how this one is different. And that's pretty much where I'm at right now. There are some things in the news a little bit. I don't think I'm going to the things that I have seen, I think, will be better stories in a day or two, as far as I can tell. I don't want to go into them too far at the moment. I'm still perusing, actually, a little bit to see what's out there, but not seeing, I don't know. The stock market is sort of, people are threatening that the stock market's going to go down again. I think we understand that that's possible at any time, but it, you know, it's in turmoil, and we will see how it goes. There was a lot of negative or downward pressure on it over the weekend. And as they have often done, they found ways to change the tide, the trend, before the market opened today. And so it was, and so it was, let me see if I can do here. Let's see what I can do. Chat co-host. Let's chat here. Log out. And so we'll, you know, it's one of those days. I think there's things that are out there. There is threatening to be some kind of new information about Nibiru this week. That actually does remind me of an interesting comet. We have Comet Catalina, which we've spoken about. Catalina being a form of the word Catherine, which means pure, going through Virgo right now, ascending upwards. And its path has been crossed by both Venus and the Moon in the last few days. And this is something I've sort of had in the back of my mind. Oh, there's Bump Pat. And it's something I've had in the back of my mind for a while because I noticed this, and then I just a week ago. Anyway, in a story about Comet Catalina, they were describing that they believe that the comet Catalina is most likely sourced out of the Oort cloud, and that many of the comets that we see in the solar system are thought to come from there, and that that they are, you know, and this little story about Catalina. He said, well, you know, and most likely that these things happen, and that the comet Catalina was possibly displaced by a, you know, something like a large planetary object. Well, this is something that's often said about comets that travel through the solar system, but most comets that travel through the solar system have a periodic orbit, meaning that they kind of go around and around and do not leave the solar system permanently. And Comet Catalina is interesting in that it is thought that this is Catalina's first passage through the solar system, and its trajectory will take it out of the solar system forever, meaning that it's not a periodic comet, that it's a one-time deal. Well, if this is a one-time passing of a comet that was, whose position in the Oort cloud or whatever was disturbed by the passing of a large planetary object, then they have inadvertently said that there's a large planetary object floating around out there which caused Comet Catalina to enter the inner solar system. But because it's not a periodic comet, and this is its first time through, that means that had to happen very recently. So inadvertently, this little story about Catalina, and this was several days ago now, this is last week or more, But inadvertently, they were inferring that there is some large planetary-type object traversing the solar system at the moment. So I just thought I'd point that out. It may turn out to be that it's, they just applied their standard explanation and really didn't think about what they were saying. It may be real information, it may not be, but it's very interesting. So Comet Catalina is passing. It will be at Arcturus around the 1st of January. And Arcturus is the brightest star in Pootes, which is considered alternatively either the herdsman or the hunter. And Arcturus has its own implied interesting meaning in its name, ancient name. Anyway, I still believe that it's a sign, that this comet Catalina is a significant sign, one of the signs of the times in the season, and it will continue on its way ultimately up to the Large Bear, Ursa Major, the Big Dipper, by mid to late January. Okay, I sort of rabbit trailed myself around to, I've got Judy and Mama Pat online. I'm going to open you guys up. Judy, I think you're muted anyway. And then we'll say hi to Mama Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Judy. Hi, Chad. Hi, everybody. Love you all. Does Judy want to say something? Because I have a message here from Behold I Come. I think you guys would like to hear it. It's today.
Okay. No, that'd be fine. I have later on. I want to read Michelle's email, and I think Judy's intentionally muted right now. So, why don't you go ahead and do that? I'm going to
refresh
my page right now.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's like he really understands what we're going through, and he's like telling us. You know, I just feel. This makes me feel good. This message. It's a bit strong. Holy Spirit, give me the unction of your voice. Okay, this is going to throw you. This title is going to throw you. For your sake, I will shorten the days. That's the title from today. Okay, from Julie. Behold, I come. Remember, my child, why I have placed you here. Remember, you are that little paper boat placed in my river of life, without a motor, without paddles, without a means to steer yourselves. This is done for a reason. When I am the river, when you abide in my flow, you have no need to concern yourselves with the direction your little boat sail. For abiding in me provides you with the comfort and peace of knowing you are in my hands always, under my protection, and I will take you where I would have you go. I am the way. This you know. So fear not the waters I am taking you into. Now this gets good. The unbelieving will always take the easier path, focused on what makes them more comfortable, the wide road more traveled. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and although they are unaware, this seemingly easier road leads to death and destruction, to darkness. Now, this is interesting. Many of my remnant would want to be pulled towards this path of least resistance as well. This gets good. Away from the stones and the obstacles and the steep drops up ahead. However, you are purposed to face these challenges head on, undaunted and unafraid of the turbulence. For it is in and through these turbulent experiences that you are drawn into deeper and more intimate relationship with your Creator. It is here in this place that I pour out my wisdom and knowledge, and keys to a new understanding and revelation are unlocked. I tell you this. You have entered a time of great turbulence, and you must face the rapids, for the season you have entered is like no other. Your way at times will seem insecure and treacherous. Your little boats may take on water. Radical change is upon you, and the waves of judgment will be formidable and fierce. Yet when you remain in full surrender and trust, I assure you, I will be the one steering you and ensuring your protection. Through it all, you must be flexible to the direction I will take you in, and you must not attempt to divert your paths in any way. For my will is where you must stay. For you see, your lives up to this point have been the training you needed in order, does this sound right, to come to this place where you can allow me full, this is so good, allow me full control of every aspect of your lives. In this manner, you will be the example the lost will need in order to learn what you have learned, in that I wish not one would be lost. I will send many your way, and they will be desperate for truth and desperate to know the way, my way, everlasting truth, all in caps. You will show them mercy and grace, compassion and love, just as I have shown you. You will teach them my wisdom, my ways, and together they will join you on this journey in the river of life without a worldly means to control their destinies, as only I, the great shepherd, leads his flock to safety. Prepare my remnant, for I do not wish you to become overwhelmed at what I'm about to do. The hour has come. For your sake, however, I will shorten the days. Now, my loves, be about my Father's business. Yahushua, your captain. So that was for today. It hit.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I think I'm going to use that as a segue into one little kind of mini flirt I had. We are really in some interesting times. And, honestly, okay.
I'm going to send it to all you guys. It's going out.
Thank you, Pat. That was.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks.
That hit me.
Right on, Jesus.
You really understand, and you're putting it out there like, here it is. Take it or leave it. This is the truth, and deal with it. I'm with you.
What is coming is not going to be pretty, either in the human sense or the spiritual sense. And when you're trying to catch the last train out of town.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And you bought your ticket late. Okay.
Oh, that's good.
There's going to be some running after that train as it starts to head out. So don't worry a little about a fuss and muss and a little sweat on your brow.
Oh my goodness, is that true or what?
Well said, my friend.
Jesus is clapping his hands at you right now. You said it. Running for that train, baby. Running for that train.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Bought a late ticket, and if the train is leaving the station.
I got chills when you're saying that. I just got chills when you're saying that. Oh, my gosh.
It is. Yesterday, I spoke about a flirt that I had yesterday evening about somebody, random in my experience, somebody doing a live show that I don't normally listen to, interviewing person on location who just said, the first thing they said to the host of the show was, it doesn't feel like Christmas much. It hasn't felt like Christmas so this year or this season. It was about a charitable thing to, I think, obtain and distribute choice to disadvantaged kids. But the point is, today, my middle daughter, who goes to a Christian high school, a really nice group of kids, she was telling me today, I mentioned to her the flirt that I had last night that I talked about on the show, and she said, a lot of my friends and I have been talking over the last recent time. Many of them have said on their own that this does not feel much like Christmas this year.
Right.
And I started to sense something very significantly different last year. I felt like there was a very significant weakening of the spirit because the truth is, the song Silent Night and what have you, to me, actually, that is not as much about the birth of Christ as it is about a certain positive stillness in the Christmas season that has been just a part of my positive stillness. It's part of peacefulness, something that at least where I'm at, I have observed in the culture, in the family unit, it's been my personal experience. It has reflected this silent night. And so the Christmas season has always been associated in part in my mind with a certain peacefulness, positive stillness. And so when I hear silent night, that's really what I think about as much as the birth of Christ. And I noticed that that was, I've been noticing it waning some, but for 20 years probably. But I, in particular, I noticed a decline last year in my perception, and I just didn't. It could have been my personal perception. I really wouldn't have never did say anything like that. But this year, I'm getting the sense that's the case, and what I'm really seeing. Excuse me. There's so many people, in addition to me, talking about this. You know, Carol's talked about it, and a lot of people are sensing something's different. Now, this daughter who mentioned this to me about her friends, she has a very significant spiritual discernment. And there's a lot of things that these same people around her making these comments about Christmas.
Yeah.
There are things that they ought to be noticing around them that they have not yet noticed, that they don't sense. They don't sense some of these things in the spirit that are going on. And yet, they are sensing this change in the seasonal spirit of Christmas. And so I think that is highly significant. And it's a further reinforcement of what we're seeing. And so I do think, you know, we're hearing these messages from very widely scattered sources, people, all different kinds of people and different walks. You know, there is absolutely something different out there, and it's not a positive difference.
Because
we're talking, you know, we're talking about a diminishing of the positive aspects of the Christmas season. And so this is apparently quite widespread, even in the perception of many people.
Yeah.
Regardless, you know, of their personal perspectives on things. Having said that, I think what I ought to do, there's Raina. By the way, Judy kicked me out of chat briefly to say hi. So she was in there to say hi. Until she gets her blog talk thing sorted out. And Rosemary said, yeah. And I said, yeah, it hurts when you get kicked by a donkey.
Yes,
and
it does.
So that's me. So
yeah,
I got
that
kicked
smart.
By a donkey there. And but then Raina's in there. So hi, Raina.
Hi, Raina.
And Judy was in there, and she's called in. She's online now. So, this Christmas thing, I have to say, I want to tell you, by the way, that just where I'm at right now, the different things that I'm looking at, and as busy as I am, I just don't have the emotional energy to really buy into a lot of garage work and things like that.
Yeah.
Michelle is just awesome the way she sticks with these things. And but I want to tell you that what she sent me today, really sat well with me. And it connects many of the things that certainly I and we have experienced in timelines. And by timelines, I mean things like the Elijah pattern and the dreams that I've had with the 27, the 9, and 9 times 27, and also even the reference to the Raina wants to know what happened to my voice. Well, Raina,
right.
I've been sick. And
doesn't sound like Jerry.
and I was pretty sick, and it happened to be at the same time that that other people were hosting, and I'm getting better. I'm definitely getting better. It's my voice is not what
vitamin C.
not what it ought to be. That's for sure. Oh, actually, that's one of the reasons I'm getting. Irina goes, "You've been hit by a donkey." Yeah, Judy logged in as a host and kicked me out of chat. So that's why I said it hurts to be kicked by a donkey. And that was tonight.
So, oh my gosh.
That's kind of where we're at. Okay, so this email Michelle sent me, I hope I can do it justice. Now, this does involve several different concepts. I'm going to try to go through it slowly enough that you can sort of process it as I speak.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the email, this really fits and would explain a lot, is all I can really say here. I really feel like this could be a very significant key for us. Okay. She says, okay, this is Michelle's email today. Okay, I discovered yesterday how Jerry's meat cleaver dream may be related to the Elijah pattern. So the main portion of the pattern went from February 28, 2014 to December 25, 2014. Then, as revealed to Jason, an extra 27 days went from December 25th to January 21st. Okay, I'll keep reading. Okay, so Jerry's dream involved the meat cleaver coming down between the 8th and 9th of a particular month, and it fell between Wednesday and a Thursday. If I remember, Jerry had this dream in early January, either early January or late December. At first, he thought that it applied to January 8th and 9th, and then he realized those days weren't a Wednesday or Thursday, which was the position of the 8th and 9th on the calendar page that I saw. I think it was either late December 2014 or early January 2015 when Jason had the revelation that there was a 13-day offset that we being revealed through patterns in our group. What Jason was talking about, somebody would have a dream or a sign, and 13 days later it's fulfilled. A lot of those things were going on with Corrine, I think, at the time, and Jason himself. God told Nate around the 14th of January 2014 that he's using the Julian calendar, which is a 13-day offset. So when Jerry was having these dreams of meat cleaver in 27 days, we were already in the extra 27 days. And this actually makes a lot of sense to me. This, you know, the end of the 27 days fell on Wednesday, January 21st, 2015. That's very significant. This day on the Julian calendar was January 8th, and therefore the next day, after the 27th, days would be January 9th on the Julian calendar, which would be on a Thursday, January 22nd on our calendar. That's very interesting. That's a birthday of a relative of mine. Jerry also mentioned seeing a blank calendar page with the number 9 above it. Okay, I have something I want to talk about there. I'll add, but I'm just going to finish what she wrote. The 27 days began on December 26th, which was the 27-day segment of the Elijah pattern, which was the 10th month on the Jewish calendar, but would be the 9th month on God's calendar, because he showed me a 28-day offset on the calendar relative to the Jewish calendar. So I think the meat cleaver coming down, or any calendar. So I think the meat cleaver coming down represented the end of the first half of the Elijah pattern, 300 plus 27 days. The other side of the cleaver represents the second half of the pattern where it is repeated. The second 300 days ended on November 17th, and the second 27 days ends today, December 14th. So I have no indication that the pattern goes beyond today. Okay, let me fill in one or two things here. This really, as I lived through all these various clues early last year and so on, this really speaks to me. Let me clarify those dreams. I had three dreams in succession that were, I've had another dream where calendar pages were flipping and it was July 28th, okay? And actually I have something about that because we've talked many times about how World War One ended on November 11th, which is 11/11. And that this has been, that this anniversary, the elites have been trumpeting about this and using it as a manner to project the beginning of a Third World War. And I just recently realized that while that has been discussed significantly, that if you look it up sort of officially by historians, the beginning of World War One was a declaration of war that was made on a July 28th. Well, July 28th was when Carol had her away in the major experience, which we, you know, which we call it basically Christmas thing. But, you know, she was awakened overnight between 27 and 28. And she saw this away in a manger highlighted on her wall supernaturally. And she's had several other Christmas-oriented flirts since then. The July 28th was also featured in a different dream I had, not relating to what Michelle has written, but I'll go ahead and explain it briefly anyway. I was having a, I had it basically taking an afternoon or early evening nap, and I'm laying down there, or I guess it was an evening nap, but I'm laying there and I'm having this dream, and what he shows me a calendar page. It's in this calendar is like a stacked calendar, where every page represents I think. And the pages were flipping. And as the pages were flipping, and they seemed to be flipping backwards, and they were, and I was hearing weeks, and I saw these, and then the only date that I was allowed to see, and basically I didn't see any dates at all on the calendar pages, except at one point the pages stopped flipping and there was a July 28th. I think it was just 28, or maybe it was July 28th. Anyway, somehow in my mind, I'm associating with July. But definitely what I saw was a 28 highlighted in July 28th. So, and that's the only date in the entire thing. But the other thing that happened was, as I was hearing weeks, I heard Pentecost. I mean, weeks, and I was seeing the pages flip, and then I heard Pentecost. And then a second time, I heard Pentecost. And that was basically the sum total of that experience, but it's extremely clear and powerful. Now, so I've sort of rabbit trailed off to cover some of these other things, but I'm not sure how related they are, but that's the calendar page dream that I had that does not relate. I had three dreams at the very end of 2013 and the early 2014, early days of January. And the first one I had, I almost forgot immediately because there was so little to it that it really was like, okay, I woke up, I knew I'd had it, I knew exactly what I'd seen and been shown, but I didn't know what to do with it. And what that was I was shown a monthly page of a calendar sitting still. I don't even believe there are any day numbers on it. And then superimposed over that, like in the space above it, I saw the number 9, and just the number 9. And that was it. It came and it went. It was just that quick. I woke up. I knew I'd been shown something. I didn't know what to make of it, and I'd actually forgot about it. A few days later, I had exactly the same setting, picture of a month. You know, a monthly page of a calendar, and superimposed above it wasn't just 9; it was 9, like an equation. 9 times 3 equals 27. Big, bold, black numbers. And then the third dream was the meat cleaver dream, where I was shown a calendar page. And this time there were day numbers on the calendar, and I saw the 8th and the 9th, and it was as if they were the 8th and the 9th days of a particular month. And at the time, I was thinking all this related to that January, which, if it is, we don't understand in what way. And I saw it clearly and long enough that it was quite clear to me that it was a Wednesday and a Thursday that these days fell on. And then, as I'm seeing this, from the air, from above, comes a meat cleaver, just traditional meat cleaver, comes down and whacks right on top of the line between the 8th and the 9th. And after it does that, everything after the 8th turns dark and literally doesn't just turn black, but actually fades away as if it didn't exist at all. And that seemed like, a kind of a cutoff. So this is the meat cleaver dream. So there were actually three dreams. And when I had the second dream, 3 times 9 is 27, probably did say actually 3 times 9 instead of 9 times 3, so 3 times 9 equals 27. I remembered the dream that just had the 9. So it was a set of three dreams. That was the progression of them. And then we were also able to go back and find, we were doing a show, and I think Jason had called in, we were talking back and forth, and that there were sets of threes in the Elijah pattern, because each day is represented by a person in the Elijah pattern in 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2. And I'd sort of noticed that there were incidental people who were being included into the bigger things. Anyway, through the inspiration of several people, and it became clear that this 27-day period was a real thing that we could pull out of Scripture where people represent days. And we had other things that Corrine was having dreams where dollar amounts were referencing days of the Elijah pattern. So all of these things fell out from that. But so the 27 days, it's been something that Jason was led to. It's been something that we were led to through the Elijah pattern in 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2. And it's also something more recently I was led to, God showing me essentially a 27 or 28 day offset of the calendar as a reference. And we've had some things that seem to fit that. The interesting thing is it fits the Elijah pattern and it fits some other things. So what I'm getting at is, and the reason I explained all those dreams is, the way that Michelle has described this, I saw one calendar page of a month and it said 9. I never really have understood why I would have been shown just the number 9. And all I knew was it was the beginning of a succession, which led to 3 times 9 equals 27. I understood the 27 eventually, very quickly. So at first I thought the 9 was just January 9th, and then the meat cleaver dream seemed to tip that off. But what Michelle has done here is she's offered that it could be the 9th month on the calendar. This 27 days is essentially a one-month offset, okay? It's very nearly a one-month offset. And that's something that I had been experiencing for a couple of years in garage work, right? We kept tripping over sort of this one-month offset notion. And I never, I couldn't quite nail it down because it wasn't a full 30 days. And so I'm like, oh, I'm not sure what to do with this. But I just keep seeing this kind of pattern lingering out there. And then completely separately, I started doing some research, and I went back and I looked at, considered the precession of the equinoxes and all that. basically I went back and looked at the position of the sun at a particular time on the calendar at the time of Christ. And the position has the sun has moved 27 and a part days from the time of Christ to now through the solar system. In other words, to get the sun in the same place, you have a 27-day offset on the calendar that we commonly use every year, and the Gregorian, or any calendar, really. But anyway, so that is virtually a month. And so that's how this fits in. But what Michelle has done here is she's offered an explanation of the nine all by itself as representing the month, and that the 27 represents the 27 days, and that then there's this 13-day offset, which works in the Julian, which even Judy and her son were encouraged to follow up on. So I'm wondering, you know what, I'm going to continue reading Michelle's email. I want to, Jason has this email too. I'm curious to see what his reaction is to it and see if he has any more feedback, because he might or he might not, but this is striking me as being pretty significant. So Michelle continues, "Now, if we are still here tomorrow, then I will begin," in other words, because today's the 14th. Oh, that right away, that reminds the other thing I want to point out. Today, in fact, I put it in, I scheduled the show before I read Michelle's email, and mm-hmm. what I put in the notes for the show today is Hanukkah ends. Where is the light now? ? Because today is the eighth day of Hanukkah, or now that it's nightfall, like for example where I'm at, it's concluded. But remember, Hanukkah is an 8-day ceremony, and so after 8 days, what comes after that? Well, the other thing that I noted in my mind a few days ago was that the standard menorah has 7 candles, and that represents a week, right? You know, 7 candles, 7 days, 7 churches, all that. So it's easy to see a representation to the calendar in the 7-thing menorah, or the 7-stand menorah. Now, the Hanukkah menorah has 9 candles. And I think the understanding is the 9th candle is what they call a Shemesh. But really, there are 7 branch menorahs that they make for use in homes and things. There is also an 8th candle as a Shemesh. So anyway, what I'm saying is it's sort of odd that when you see a so-called Hanukkah menorah, they actually display all 9 candles at the same level, because 9 is actually the number of destruction. It's sort of a weird anomaly in the celebration of the festival of Hanukkah, is what I'm saying. Because the Shemesh should not be displayed in line at the same height and in the same, you know, plane as the other 8. What do I want to say? From a religious point of view, remember that Hanukkah is not a Levitically prescribed festival, but it's kept. But we know that Jesus recognized it more than once during his ministry. And so that's interesting. And I don't know. It's just kind of weird. It's odd that you actually see it's this whole the 9 candle thing. I just recently realized it's a little weird, because you've only got really 8 days in Hanukkah. Anyway, the point is we're completing the 8th day, and what comes mm-hmm. after that is the 9th. And it might be that that's related to what Michelle's writing about. So,
yeah.
And So anyway, a couple of observations. The thing is, it's coming up, and it fits exactly with Michelle's writing here. So anyway, now if we're still, this is, I'm finishing reading Michelle's email. Now if we're still here tomorrow, then I will begin to wonder if we will have to go another 7 days past today since the announcement of our translation, the miracle show, was 7 days prior to the beginning of the pattern. That was the 21st of February. At the furthest it could go, in my opinion, is an extra 9 days past today, because 9 days prior to the start of the pattern was February 19th, when RCC was declared a church. So I believe the latest we could be here is December 21st and possibly the 23rd. Actually, the 23rd. I believe the 21st more, since Alana was told last year that she might see the beginning of fall, but she won't see the beginning of winter. December 22nd is the beginning of winter. So
oh,
I think we have to be gone by then. Pardon me?
I thought it was the 23rd that started the winter. I could be wrong.
I see what you're saying. Either way, this results in us being gone by Christmas, with the worldwide rapture happening no later than December 30th. If we were to leave on December 21st, the worldwide rapture would likely be on the 28th, which would be the two-year anniversary of Kevin's translation. And then her mom is coming to visit her over Christmas, and she has had a lot of translation rapture dreams with her mom, where she was present with her mom. So now, one thing I want to add to this is today, the 14th, is also 7 days before the 21st. And I have had some inklings of that possibly we might depart here, let's just say before the 20th. So this actually does encourage me. The way she has related the different considerations, the consideration of our leading to a 13-day offset, a Julian calendar offset, which is also 13 days, the way she has interpreted the relationship between the dreams that I've had about the calendar and also the 27-day offset, that she found a relationship where all of these things are in sympathy with each other, in sync with each other, it really does intrigue me. And when I read it, I really felt like, wow, this is pretty cool. It just felt, it didn't feel contrived at all. What I'm saying is, it just felt like it had a natural fit. And I am encouraged that quite possibly she has found something here where all of these clues have a natural relationship to each other in our experience and as they were given to us. That could really make sense here. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. But very, very, very particular, very interesting stuff. So it is the last day of Hanukkah. Actually, you know, there are no more candle lightings. Therefore, Hanukkah's over. And if it's past sunset, you know where you're at. And let's see, I'm sort of catching up, reading in chat. And Rosemary says, I think the extra candle is a starter candle, and I was saying the Shamash, used to light the other at once. Yes, that's true. And don't forget, I had this Hanukkah experience when I went and picked up my daughter we took her back after Thanksgiving. Is that right? We went over to see her Christmas concert. And we stopped for a quick snack on the way home. I got back in the car. It was right at 8 o'clock East Coast time. And this show that normally plays bluegrass, and I thought, not without any knowledge to me, for the season had turned to the Hanukkah channel, turned the show on, and I'm expecting to hear bluegrass. And instead, what I mean, just like last night, when I left a meeting, I hopped in the car. It was near the top of the hour, and I heard this unusual show. And one of the first things I hear is this guy talk about how it seems like Christmas this year. So last week, it was Sunday, 8 days ago, because it was the first day of Hanukkah, and the first thing I hear when I turn on what I'm expecting to be the Bluegrass Channel, it turns out to be some song being sung in Hebrew, and I hear the word Adonai. I'm like, okay, what is this? Listen to it, and the announcer comes on. The first thing he says, if you live on the West Coast, it's time to light your first candle. So get your light your shemesh and light your first candle for the first candle and day of Hanukkah, or the first night of Hanukkah. So anyway, the distinction I'm drawing there, Rosemary, about the candles is that there's always a shemesh, or you know, a shemesh lamp or a shemesh candle, a master that lights all the others. The thing is, typically they're displayed offset and you know, sort of properly by tradition. You know, for example, if you have a 7-branch menorah and you're keeping it, for example, for Passover, there's the master candle, the setting for it might be on your menorah, but it is offset in a different plane and it is supposed to be at a lower level than the other 7. But for some reason, Hanukkah menorahs, many of them display all 9 candles in a line and in a row at the same height. And that actually would infer a 9th day. And with 9 strongly known, understood to represent destruction, that's just an oddity to me that has come to my consciousness recently, because in the last several days, actually. And so anyway, we are completing Hanukkah, and that's kind of where we're at and what we know. So, Pat, did you have anything you wanted to throw in there about any of that? Maybe not. Maybe she's muted. She's on the line. Pat, are you there?
No, I was muted. My daughter was coughing. Yeah, no, okay. Just the numbers. 7:44 when I got up, 1:44, 4:44 when my sister texted me because she's doing all right now with her shoulder. They gave it an 8:44. I was looking for the 4, so always in my face, 44. So anyway.
Yeah.
Other than that, no. Just hanging in here. Yeah. Oh, man. No, that's just the numbers. I can't believe the numbers. You know, we see them and it's like, oh, right, I saw the number. But this is like so pointed, like when she texts me or when I get up, you know. Sometimes you're looking at the TV or something, which I don't do much of anything, and you say, oh, it's 1:44. But this is like getting sharper.
You know, I'm almost, the truth, I have actually been getting, I've had a continued string of these things, and I've been kind of preoccupied, and I haven't really embraced it, but the truth is, it's I'm getting a lot of those. I'm getting 144s and 222s, and,
my daughter's getting 111.
Other stuff.
So,
that's weird. And so, whatever. Rosemary mentioned here in chat, if the oil lasted 8 nights, they would reach the 9th day, and that's correct. And that was actually, that's what the story is about the miracle, is that, they regained the temple, and they wanted to, they recaptured it, and they wanted to consecrate it, and they wanted to, they wanted to keep the lamp burning, but the problem that they had was they couldn't do it without making new oil, and it took a full 8-day cycle to make the oil and get it blessed where it was consecrated to use in the temple. And so it was a miracle that they were able to keep it burning during that time, and so that they could reconstitute a proper oil to use in the temple, in the lamps, in the menorah in the temple. And so that, she's right. They would reach the 9th day, and with 8 days of oil. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that is a very good point. So we're right in that time period. We've got things going on here.
Uh-huh.
I can tell that my voice is actually not liking me to talk quite this much. So
don't have to stay on. Yeah.
I'm gonna play a song or two.
Hey, Jerry. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. Hi. You're welcome. And
hi, Mama Pat.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good. Good.
Everybody's
just
okay.
It's crazy Monday in our house. Mondays are really crazy.
Oh, I guess.
I'm barbecue and steak.
Oh. Hey.
Awesome.
Wow. I've been trying to lose weight, so I said oranges and grapefruits. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you real quick. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at something online, and it said how you take the grapefruits, the grapefruit, you know, does the weight off and stuff. So I was kind of saying to the Lord, you know, I've got to go and get some grapefruits and stuff and really just do some more losing weight and oranges. Laura comes up with a bag of 8 grapefruits and oranges. They were down in the laundry room. My granddaughter's touring around with her boyfriend. Please play for Liz. They're doing music and everything. He's in a band, and she left them. So she brings up all these. She said to herself, I wonder if Mom was asking the Lord for grapefruits. Grapefruits, I can't say. The next day, and he does this all the time. I'm not kidding. I'll talk to him about something, and there it is. I find it, or somebody's given it to me, or it's like, what are you doing to me? I don't deserve this, you know. You're too good to me sometimes. Oh, it's incredible. 10 of them. So Carol and I had them.
Awesome, Pat. You just reminded me. I actually left off one of the coolest parts of Michelle's email.
Oh.
It was at the very end. Let me read this to you. She says her mom will be with her from the 24th through the 28th in Christmas time, which is it relates to her dreams that she's had. But anyways, then she says this: I've had a couple of rapture dreams that involve my mom, so perhaps we could have a Christmas translation. But I told the Lord that I don't see how we could still be here for Christmas based on all the work that I just read through. And she said, and he said, neither can I. So see you in the air very soon. So she's saying God told her, if she says, I don't see how we can be here by Christmas. And the response he got from him was, neither can I. If God can't see a way, then there is no way. Okay, so that is a super huge flirt.
But look at the message I read you. He's shortening the time.
That is huge.
He's shortening the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's a mouthful right there.
I received so much of what was in this particular email really held a lot of weight with me. So very seems very substantial to me. And, I can tell you, I've talked to him a lot. I try to not do it anymore.
Yeah.
9:21
it is. Okay.
But that was a big deal. I think that is a big deal. I've gotten a lot of answers. I've gotten, I've gotten all the answers you can get, except I've never had this kind of an exchange where I said, I don't really see how I can be here, and he says, neither can I.
Can
and
I tell
so,
you something?
That's huge. That's really huge. Yep.
It was just 9:21. You add that up, that's 12, and I'm thinking 21, 12, 21, so that just kind of went through me. I have no idea, but I just saw that, and now it's 9:22, but 9:21, and I'm just thinking 21 sticking in my craw, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know why, but it just is.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, I'm
we'll see.
I
Happy
am
birthday, Jesus.
By
you
that.
Got your bride. That's your birthday present.
That's right. I, actually, I wish I had that.
He's going to hit me.
I do like that song myself. And I don't have that in there. I've got happy birthday songs. I don't have happy birthday Jesus. That's why I played,
can't
by the
play
way.
Happy birthday 16, that's
I
for
played,
sure.
Yeah, I played Blue Christmas at the beginning of the show. That's about the closest I could get.
I'm surprised they don't have a song for birthday 21 because you're all legal and everything. You know, they could you could really have a good time with a song like that, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see what I can come up with here.
It's probably out there somewhere. We haven't found it.
Yep.
They got Sweet 16. They ain't got 21.
Are you there?
Yeah, if you want to close up early, that's okay, because you're not feeling well. And you know.
Well, I'm trying to find. I know.
You don't even have a happy birthday song to Jesus, you know?
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't have that.
No, they don't even have it.
Like
no one's
song.
Ever made one. Has anybody ever made a happy birthday song to Jesus? I don't know.
Well, yeah. Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus.
There is one?
Yeah.
You're
kidding. Well, it's like a kid's song. Yeah, it's a kid's song, but I like it.
Oh. Because you know what? When I said when I asked my daughter in New Hampshire, I said, "What are we doing for Jesus' birthday? Not what are we doing for Christmas?" So she probably thinks I'm a nutcase, you know. She'll think I'm weird anyway. So what's the difference?
Yeah.
But I liked how that sounded. What are we doing for Jesus' birthday?
I tell you what, I think this song is a little bit longer. This is one that came up the other day with Judy, and it's the actual title is "Good Good Father," but the refrain is "Perfect in all of your ways."
That's a nice song. I've heard that once before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a good song.
We'll see how the timing goes. try this.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for it. Far and wide, but I think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am.
I just sent you an article. It's going to just make you raise your eyebrows. Okay.
Okay. I'll take a look.
Hope you feel better.
Thank you. I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm getting better. I'm just not there yet.
Oh, you will be. Take that vitamin C.
Oh, yeah. That and everything else.
No,
every
really.
Every other one, too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
whatever.
No, C, C. Take 1,000 units a day. Just, it'll kill it. Yeah,
gotta
it'll kill
minerals
it.
Minerals, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, night.
Yeah, good night.
I lost my balance. I fell from the trapeze. This act isn't easy. I've been underwater. This storm has been raging. These nights are not sleeping. My dreams are now strangers to me. And I need you now. There's too many miles on my bones. I can't carry the weight of the world. No, not on my own. Your eyes are like lightning. Your voice is like water. This place is a desert. I've been walking in circles. I'm screaming for answers. Am I falling to pieces? Or maybe I'm finally breaking through. I need you now. There's too many miles in my bones. I can't carry the weight of the world. No, not on my own. I
crying. No more trouble. No more sighing. No more falling. No more striving. No more heartache. No more fighting. No more feeling. Only fighting. No more malice. No more hiding. No more hurting. No more crying. No more trouble. No more dying. No more falling. No more striving. No more heartache. No more fighting. No more feeling. Only fighting.
Bye.